I apologize. He asked me to read the scripture. So here we are.
Excuse me.
We ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you here this morning. My name is Tim Ferris. I'm the associate pastor here at Grace Community Church. Me and my family have been here for, I think September 1st is a year and a half. And so we've been really thankful for our time here and glad to spend some time with you all this morning in the Word. If you have a Bible, it can be on your phone, it can be in the seat in front of you. If you're holding a physical copy of God's Word, I invite you to turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 12 through 22. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 12 through 22. We are going to be continuing in our series, The Transforming Power of the Gospel. And today we are looking at Paul's final instructions to the Thessalonians. When someone offers you final words or instructions, has that ever happened to you before? Perhaps a mentorship was coming to a close, perhaps a loved one has gone before you in death, and perhaps someone at some point has offered you final words, final instructions. When someone does this, they typically do so to provide guidance for you in light of everything else that you have gone through together. And these final words, final instructions, they're special and they stick with you. Perhaps you have received such words or instructions sometime in your life. When my mentorship with a pastor in Wichita, Kansas was coming to a close and I had just accepted my first ministry assignment in 2021, I had messaged him about this first assignment, and these were his final instructions for me as our mentorship was coming to a close. Quote, "Remember, it only takes a few things with God at the helm. The helm means you're at the front of the ship, and there's this big captain's ship that you're steering the ship. God's at the helm. Remember, it only takes a few things with God at the helm. Faithfulness, intentionality, hope. So long as God is leading you and you have these three things, you cannot fail, even when you fail." And 5.5 years later, here I am. And those final words, final instructions ring just as true for me today as they did then. These are special final instructions for me and for my family, but how much more then are these final words from the Apostle Paul to the church in Thessalonica? God's very word to us. In light of the power of the gospel that we've been seeing as Pastor Don has been taking us through the book of 1 Thessalonians, and in light of the reality of Christ's return on the horizon as we look forward, the Thessalonian church needed clear direction on how to move forward, and so do we, Grace Community Church. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to journey through a list of commands here from God's Word, these final words, these final instructions. And my prayer for you is that this would not be a boring list for you. It wouldn't be a boring laundry list to go through. this morning, or these commands wouldn't seem irrelevant to you, but that these would be a meaningful, impactful way forward for us together. So if you would, could you join me in prayer? And we'll go ahead and get started. Father, would you take these moments here in your word, and would your Holy Spirit be moving in each and every one of our hearts, that you would apply these final instructions, these final words from the book of 1 Thessalonians, that you would provide your church a clear direction forward in the days in which we walk, in light of the power of the good news of Jesus, and in the light of your return, Lord Jesus, that is coming soon. Provide direction, unify us, open our ears that we may hear, and I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. So as we get started in our passage today, I want to consider with you some guidelines from our passage. How do we walk in these days, church? How do we walk in the power of the gospel? How do we walk as we anticipate our Lord Jesus Christ's return? First guideline is this: be in community with one another. The one another is important here. You do not walk out the Christian life on your own. It is not God's design. We walk together. We function together as a body, and there are different giftings here in the room that come together to form one body. And when it is working properly, what a beautiful thing to behold. Be in community with one another. Most of you, if not all of you, have at some point experienced the messy side of church. Most of you, if not all of you, have experienced the greasy underside of church, or under the vehicle, as it were, and you're seeing all the oil underneath and the leaks. Maybe some of you have wondered or are wondering today, what is the point of the church? Should I even be continuing in church? Is church really necessary for this Christian walk? Can I do it better on my own, apart from the body and apart from the brokenness that is found in the church? Well, as we continue with these final instructions, this clear direction for us as a church, I want you to hear of God's beautiful design for you. If your faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, He has called you out of darkness, not to be in isolation, but He's actually called you, He's gathered you to be a part of His people, the church, His bride. So here's God's beautiful design for you. As we look into this text here, His design looks like submission to godly, yet imperfect leaders. So let's just read verses 12 through 13 here. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. We are called to have respect and high regard for leaders in the church. It is actually a beautiful thing to be in submission to those under shepherds whom God has appointed in the church. It is a beautiful thing to respect those who labor hard for the work of the gospel, and those who actually exercise oversight over you, not for their own gain, or that they can exercise dominion in an ungodly way over God's people, but that they may care for the sheep and lead the sheep. Respect those who labor among you and are over you, and admonish you at the end of verse 12. Admonish means sharp instruction, correction. And this is not to do so to wound the sheep, but to guide them in the way that they are to go. We are called to have respect and high regard for leaders in the church. It is tempting to think, especially when we experience the imperfect nature of the church, that we think we can do this mission on our own. That's not God's design. Paul knew that this church here in Thessalonica, if they were going to continue on mission in light of Jesus' return, needed leaders. Godly leadership is a good thing as we participate together in the body. And so we are called together to respect, have high regard for our leaders. I praise God for Pastor Don in this season. As an associate pastor here, he's been such an encouragement to my heart, to Mariana's heart, to our families. And all of this is done in love. This respecting those who are among you and over you, admonishing them and holding them in high regard. Look at verse 13 here. To esteem them, to hold them up very highly. How? In love. Agape love. Sacrificial love. The beautiful design about the churches, yes, it's messy. Yes, there's brokenness. Yes, the leaders in the church are imperfect. Yet we hold leaders in high esteem and sacrificial love. Bearing with one another. Being patient with one another. All this is done in agape love. Why? Because of their work, end of verse 13. It's because the work of the gospel matters. More people hearing about Jesus matters. You guys being built up to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to operate according to your gifting. This all matters. The church matters because the work of the gospel matters. So, God's beautiful design for you is submission to godly yet imperfect leaders. I remember when I was in college, it was the first time I was looking for a church on my own in Shawnee, Oklahoma. And there had been seasons of church hurt that I experienced up to that point. And this, our hearts do this weird pendulum thing when we experience hurt. And I was at the side of, I didn't want to let church go, but I was going to find that perfect church, and I was going to find that perfect pastor who didn't do anything wrong. And it really shook me when I saw leadership doing something wrong, or if I had a close mentor that did something wrong. I was looking for the perfect pastor, and it shook my heart. But yet I didn't understand this in love piece. So this is instruction for you guys, Grace Community Church. We're in a lead pastor search right now. Isn't it tempting to look for the perfect pastor, at least according to what we think? No, we're going to bear with him in love. Sacrificial love. And the rest of the leadership that God has put in place here. I did not experience peace when I was looking for the perfect situation, but look later. End of verse 13, be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace among yourselves. When there's godly leadership in place and we are submitted to them, there is peace and it's beautiful, even though it can be messy. So God's design for us is submission to godly yet imperfect leaders. It also looks like this. Discipleship is not done in isolation, but it's done together when we're in community with one another. Here's where it gets pretty interesting here. As godly leaders have done to us, as they have admonished us, and as they have provided clear instruction for us, and as they have discipled us, as they have shown us an example to initiate and to imitate, as godly leaders have done to us, so we do to others. So in verse 14, the language here, the imperative command language gets strong at this point. Verse 14, when the Apostle Paul writes, in light of godly leadership, verse 14, and we urge you, brothers and sisters. We urge you to do what? Admonish the idle. There are some in the church who, in light of Christ's return, had gotten idle. Perhaps you could even call it lazy, lack of vision. As godly leaders have done to us, so you do with those whom are around you and those who you are discipling, to give sharp instruction forward for those without vision. So admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. Faint-hearted could be translated here as people who are sad, people who are depressed, people who have been hurt and wounded in ministry, people who are experiencing brokenness in their homes, whatever it may be. We are to continue the ministry on. It doesn't stop with leadership, but you guys are equipped for the work of ministry and involves encouraging the faint-hearted, lifting their spirits, pointing them to Jesus, pointing them to the way, encouraging their hearts, reminding them of gospel truth, reminding them of the church, reminding them of the mission when they are discouraged and faint-hearted. Admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. Actually, last time I checked, I believe all of us are weak. And all of us at times even struggle to lift our weak hands for the work of ministry. If I've learned anything in my time as youth pastor here at Grace, it's that the team matters. In my pride, when things get difficult, I think I can do it on my own. And it's exhausting. The team matters. And there's gifted people that God have assembled into a team with various giftings of various kinds. And it's a beautiful thing. It can be a messy thing too. But wow, we're all weak. So let's join arms in ministry for the work of the ministry. Discipleship is not done in isolation, but it is done together. It doesn't stay with the leaders, but the cool thing is this verse 14 involves each and every one of you as we move forward in the days to come. Part of my job as the associate pastor is to go to games, events that our youth are in. And I've been to some track meets, and my favorite event to watch is the 4x800. And the spot I like to be in is not at the spot where the race starts or where it finishes, although that is really cool, but I like to actually go to the point to where the baton is passed off to the next person. And they're running hard. They take that baton and they run hard. And when you get to the point where it transfers, they lean over a little bit and they push that last little edge out and they pass it off to the next person and they get a break and the next person continues. Who are you passing the baton off to? It doesn't stay with a select few, but it's another group who continue the work of ministry. It's not going around the lap time after time after time, year after year after year, with no breaks and getting weak, discouraged, exhausted, but it's passing it off to the next. So who has God placed in your life to pass this baton off to? What would it look like for Grace Community Church as we continue on in the days to come to pass the baton to the next generation of leaders so they can continue in the race and run hard and run with enthusiasm? Discipleship is not done in isolation. It's done together. Lastly, being in community with one another. It looks like this. Ministry is not done according to how the world operates, but to what is good. Verse 15 says, the next command, next instruction, see that no one repays evil with evil. Evil for evil. That's interesting. There's like this recognition that there is evil, but the way of the world is to fight that evil with more evil. However that looks like for you. The world seeks to respond to evil with evil, but we respond with Christ. We respond with the gospel. The very message of reconciliation that brings sinners who were once at enmity with God into adoption with Him, into loving relationship with Him, thus removing the enmity and in its place offering peace. This is how we are to interact with the world around us. Not waging wars as the world does, not responding to evil with evil. Congregation, take care of how you walk in these days. Be careful about what you post on social media. Be careful how you respond to people's viewpoints when no one is looking. Respond firmly, respond in truth, but respond with the gospel. Preach the good news of Jesus to people. Preach that message that actually has the power to transform someone's heart, bringing them from death to life. Preach the message that has the power to transform the community of Worthington. The good news of Jesus, that God in His love, while He loved us, while we were dead in our sin, sent His Son to live a life we could never live, to die a death we would never survive, taking on and bearing our sin in His body and the full wrath of God in our stead, so that we may be forgiven, our sins atoned for. And then this Jesus, 3 days later, was raised again to new life and is ruling and reigning at the right hand of the Father to seek and save that which is lost. Respond with that gospel. So look at verse 15. See that no one repays evil with evil, but contrast, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. This is really interesting at the end of verse 15. Do good to who? To one another, so you all here, and to everyone. So responding with the gospel and love, this is not only done with you all, but also for the unbeliever. Hear these words from Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to do what? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And I heard someone say the other day in a meeting, they're like, we actually see this equipping piece happening at Grace Community Church right now. It's exciting. Like, we actually see people stepping up in their gifting and in their giftedness, how God has gifted them through the Holy Spirit, and watching them be equipped and watching them take that baton for ministry. That is done together. And so God's design in these last days is that the saints be equipped for ministry. So be in community with one another. Second guideline, remain rooted in the truth of the gospel. Remain rooted in the truth of the gospel. Even in adverse situations, circumstances, or surroundings, the church rooted in the gospel responds with a unique and resounding joy. Unique and resounding joy. I was at the park with my mom and Caleb in Sioux Falls, probably earlier this spring, Sertoma Park in Sioux Falls. And we were just going about our business. Caleb was playing on the playground. And all of a sudden, I hear this trumpet. And I look, and there's this guy. He's marching around, and he's playing his trumpet. And the sound is resounding everywhere. It took me off guard at first. But After a while, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. That's different. A trumpet, I mean, that sound, it resounds. That is the church to the culture around them who rejoice in Jesus. Joy resounds. There's the sound of collective grumbling, which I've heard before. There's also the sound of collective rejoicing together. Isn't there quite the contrast between those two? What would it be like for our community to see and hear resounding joy from God's church? It'd be absolutely amazing. And that happens when we remain rooted in the truth of the gospel. So here's what we are to embrace as we walk in challenging days. Look at verse 16, short but powerful verse. Rejoice always. Walking forward in challenging days looks like expressing the joy that we can always have, no matter what. Why is it that we can always have this joy? I'm going to have to get to that here in just a second here. There's like a commercial break and thought. We'll get to that at a later point here in a couple minutes. But what I want you to know now is this. There is a joy as a Christian that you can always have. And it's not putting on a fake mask or a fake smile. But there's this inner joy that's found in the Lord. We can always have, we can rejoice always. So it looks like expressing the joy we can always have as we walk forward. It looks like never ceasing to be dependent in prayer. Verse 17, another instruction, pray without ceasing. Never ceasing to be dependent in prayer. I want you to hear this quote from Jared Wilson. He's a writer, theologian from Kansas City. Quote, prayer is expressed helplessness. It is a verbalized acknowledgement of our own lack of power, of our own weaknesses. And it is in our weakness that God's power is perfected. So hence, pray without ceasing. Pray at all times. This doesn't mean that you literally have to 24/7 be praying nonstop, and it's this prayer that goes on and on. But what the Apostle Paul's meaning here is have many opportunities to be dependent in prayer during your day, in the watches of the night when you can't sleep. Express your need for him in prayer. And I believe you'll feel a weight lifted off your back as you continue to walk forward. Walking forward, remaining truth and remaining rooted in the gospel also looks like giving thanks no matter what. Give thanks in all circumstances. And some of you have gone through really difficult circumstances. I want to acknowledge that. God doesn't overlook this reality, dear ones. But yeah, we can give thanks in all circumstances. Why can we rejoice always then? Why can we pray without ceasing? Why can we give thanks in all circumstances? It's because of the gospel. End of verse 18. Rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances is the will of God, the decree of God in Christ Jesus. For you, in Christ Jesus is so key here. Why can we rejoice always? The good news of the gospel is Jesus lived a life you could never live. The joy of the gospel is why we can rejoice always is that when Jesus died, he served as our substitute in our place. I've tried to imagine before, what does it mean that Jesus bore my sin in his body, the most broken part of me that I don't want any of you to know. Bearing our sin in his body, and bearing the full wrath of God in our place. We can rejoice always, but because he is our substitute, we can say, I am free. There is no more condemnation for me. We can rejoice always. He lived a life I could never live on my own. I'm free. No more fear. Love has come and is perfected, made me whole. And I can rejoice because Jesus is not dead. He is alive. And the application of his work, because he is alive, is real. The effect of the gospel for you is real. The transformation that it brings is real. And we can rejoice always in this good news. We can pray without ceasing because God has shown himself to be trustworthy. We can give thanks always. Because even in the hardest circumstances, we know that we have a high priest who sympathizes with us in ways we can't even imagine. So remain rooted in the good news of Jesus. Remain as the tree is by the water. And so as we move to the end of the list of final instructions, as we move to verse 19, we must now heed a warning together. Here's the third guideline. Yield to the leading of the Spirit. I'd have to say in these past weeks, there was a week, not last week, but the week before, I saw all the things that needed to be done. And I'm anxiously trying to make things happen. To figure things out, that's a big thing for me. I just need to figure this thing out. Pastor Don sent an encouraging text to the staff chat, and I won't read the whole thing to you, but it includes this. Be open to the leading of the Spirit. That stood out to me. So I say the same thing to you. In the challenging days in which we walk, as you are hearing this clear direction for you, I say to you, yield to the leading of the Spirit. Hear this warning from the Word of God in all grace and love to you. Verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. Do not throw cold water on what the Holy Spirit of God is working to accomplish among you. Have you ever thrown cold water on a bonfire to get it to go out? That's what's sort of in view here. Don't quench the Spirit. Do not extinguish. I want to read to you this quote from Welsh pastor Martin Lloyd-Jones. Quote, the thing that is being forgotten by a vast majority of people is that the really important fact in the world today is God's activity. What God is doing, not what men are doing, not what people are doing. Having our eyes fixed, how is the Spirit leading among us? How is God working among us? In speaking for myself, I get so concerned about what other people are doing and what I'm doing. Let's be refocused on how God is working among us. Specifically in this context to the Thessalonians, we are instructed to listen to those who speak prophetic words. And what I mean by that is those being timely words for the building up of the body. Verse 20, do not despise prophecies. I like the NASB on this one, prophetic utterances. Like I said, I've only been here a year and a half. But to those who knew Dan Hibma, for example, did he ever speak timely words to you in this congregation? I've heard some from him. And were they edifying? God speaks in this way through believers who speak encouraging words to the church. Do not despise prophetic utterances. And there's a lot that could be said about prophecy. We're not going to open those can of worms today, but I'll stick with the following. When talking about prophecy, prophetic utterances through the Spirit, I want you to be aware of the following. Prophecy is not new revelation apart from Scripture. This is God's final word to us. And any prophetic word will not come into conflict with the Bible. So Mormonism, for example, would claim they have a new revelation apart from Scripture. That there would be a claim there that they are the true manifestation of the church now. We've got to be careful with such words. Test all things according to the Word of God. And prophecy is not without error, like the Word of God is. I've had hunches before, and I've said things before that just were a little off course. And so look at the rest of this. Paul's saying, don't despise timely words, prophetic utterances, but test everything. Hold them up against the Word of God, and hold fast to what is good. We are to test what is said against the Word of God, all while being open to timely words for us in this season. And how are we to test? 1 John 4:1-3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world, even many of these masquerading as angels of light, putting on a play, putting on a show that looks real, but it is not. 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. There are false prophecies that tear down the person of Jesus and the work of Jesus. And then there are those words spoken by brothers and sisters that are not in conflict with Scripture, that edify the body and work for the building up. There are timely words of speaking the truth of Scripture into the very moment in which God has us. So as we wrap up here, and I'll invite worship team to come forward at this time. Grace Community Church, in light of the gospel and the reality of Jesus' returning soon, we are to move forward together. Do you not know that God has more for you on the horizon? There are more days of fruitful ministry for us together. So we are to be in community with one another. We are to remain rooted in the gospel, and we are to yield to the Spirit's leading in these days. Interesting days that we find ourselves in as a church. We're in a lead pastor search. There's a building project. There's growing ministries, new faces here. New people expressing faith in Jesus, more transformed lives, more small groups. And so I ask you today, what will you do with these words? What will you do with these final instructions to this church in Thessalonica and to you? In the present, in these moments, you'll have the opportunity to come forward and pray. There will be people on each side who would love to pray with you. And so I invite you, if the Spirit is working, moving in your heart, I invite you to come forward as we're singing this final song. Today is the day for salvation. Today is the day to believe in Jesus, to trust Him, give Him your life, surrender. And today is the day to move forward together. Jesus is coming back soon. But as we wait, let's walk into fruitful ministry together. Amen.